I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and today we continue our massive build of the Lizardmen Temple Mound on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. So welcome back to Season 4, Episode Something or Another of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at tabletopbattlefield.com. And last time we got started building Temple Mount. So if you want to see how this project has been coming up together up to this point, you want to jump back to the previous episode so you can see, you know, how we got some of the various items built. Hopefully we get it all done today, and then we can move on to some other topics, and that'll probably be it for build projects for the rest of the year. So I wanted to finish up with a nice big one. So we got a lot more stuff to show off, so let's just stop talking and we'll get right back to the building. To add a bit of flavor to the scenery, what we're going to do is put pieces of warpstone all throughout the ruined temple complex. For the non-Warhammer fantasy players out there, warpstone is a type of meteorite that obviously falls from the sky, hits the ground, and some of the factions, in particular the Skaven, use it to power some of their weapons and magic. It's kind of like a chaos, evil, demon-infested type of material that a lot of people fight over. So, to build warpstone, what I did is I went out to Michael's, and I picked up a packet of what they call decorative accents. Pretty much, they are pieces of little crystal. I'm holding on to the camera right here. They're plastic, little broken crystal pieces. So if you take them out, they look like little shards of crystal. Some are small, some are large. I'm mostly interested in the large ones, but the small ones could definitely be useful as well. And this particular item called Decorative Accents is unique to Michael's. It says it's distributed by the Michael's stores, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure you can probably get something similar at other kind of craft stores or online, but it won't go by the same name. There we go. I'll take a few of them out over here. So as I mentioned, you can see there's the large one and a handful of smaller ones, and they're all irregular shape, which is really kind of cool. So when it comes to painting things up like warpstone, warpstone is kind of a solid green color with bright green highlights along the edges. Of course, the first problem you're going to run into, these are plastic. If you try to paint directly on them, say with poster paints, the disaster is going to result because, you know, paint does not stick very well to bare plastic. That's where I got this stuff from. If you remember back a few episodes ago, we did the primer competition. This is the Touch and Tone cheap, crappy primer. This may not be very good for figures, but it's going to work great for this kind of stuff. So take a handful of these little pieces outside, put them in a box, and hit them with a nice layer of the Touch and Tone gray primer. And this will be the end result right here, which now we should be able to. I think the primer, okay, the primer's still going to dry a little bit, so we'll hold off and wait patient and play the waiting game for a while. Not surprisingly, the poster paints were basically a failure sticking to the primer, so we're going to go back to our alternate plan, which is using actual GW-branded plastic paints, and we'll see if these work a little bit better on this stuff. They should, I think. So now I'm just using a small brush. Oh yeah, they're going out much better. Yeah, so at this point I'm using Dark Angels Green from the Games Workshop line of paints, and oh yeah, it's going on much, much better than the poster paint. Right, that looks pretty good right there. So we'll just keep doing that for each of them, and we'll see how things go from here. Moving on, this is part two and the final part of making the warpstone. We're going to give them the bright green highlights. So I'm taking some Dark Angels Green as well as some Rotting Flesh, both which, of course, are Games Workshop branded colors. We're going to take just a little bit of the Dark Angels Green and put it down kind of my work area here and violate some rules and then take some of the Rotting Flesh, and I'm going to get a nice bright green color. That looks pretty good there. Just take this green color and just kind of run it along the edges of the warpstone. And try to do it in nice, even strokes, just one stroke per edge kind of a thing. So what we're going to use this for is a few things. We're going to, one, using the spawning pools. You're going to put a few pieces of warpstone in one of the spawning pools for decoration. And the other things you can do is, if you remember back, if you watched the show for a long time, way back in Season 2 when we built the original battlefield design, I kind of show you how to make what I call a little, I forgot what I called them. There's kind of little bits of terrain that you can stick down where you take a few pieces of something like rock or bushes or things and glue them down to some textured base, and then you can kind of just decorate the battlefield with them. That, of course, is another thing, great thing you can use the warpstone for, and therefore creating objective markers for games of Warhammer Fantasy. Well, there you go. Let's call these warpstones done and move on to the next portion of this project. Next step to finishing up this temple mount is we're going to start making the spawning pools. Now, what I'm going to do is actually make the spawning pools in their own template. That way, since they're not fixed into the whole temple mount, I can move them around and use them for other purposes. So, to make the actual templates of these spawning pools, I'm going to first draw them out on some piece of cardboard here. I've actually got the back of a cereal box. So, you just need some kind of simple, basic cardboard or tag board. I'm going to get out the temple mount here. And now, way back at the start, I kind of traced out about where I wanted the size and the shape of the spawning pools to be. So what you're going to do now is kind of lay down your cardboard in those areas and just kind of approximate the size and the shape of them as you did earlier. This time you're drawing the outline on the cardboard. So if I hold this thing up at the camera, you can see here I've got it marked off spawning pool number 2, number 3 is hanging down here, and number 1's up in the corner. So let's put our temple mount back for now. And don't drop scissors on yourself. And get a pair of scissors out, and let's just cut out these spawning pool templates. Actually, second thought. Before we do that... let's actually paint them up first, and then we'll cut them out. That makes a little bit more sense. So these spawning pools are actually going to be corrupted ones that have been polluted by the forces of chaos, primarily the Skaven, because the Skaven suck. So what we need to do is not make them bluish color, but we're going to make them kind of a dark greenish, swampy, nasty-looking color. So we're going to get out a myriad of poster paints here. First up, standard old blue. Black, getting ever more exciting with each one. White, and finally, to top off the awesome excitingness, where did it go? There it is. Green. This is a collection of basic poster paints. So I do need a paintbrush. Fudge monkeys. All right, so let's take the blue first and drop some of that down on our palette. I'm going to mix in a little bit of black to give it a fairly dark color. Let's just paint that down as our base color on each of the spawning pools. Now the reason we're painting them before we cut them out is two reasons here. One, for purposes of cleanliness, if you go outside the lines, it just goes on extra pieces of cardboard and not on the table or the work area, whatever you got underneath it. But also two, when paint tends to dry, actually when paint dries, it tends to curl up the cardboard underneath it. So with the full sheets of cardboard, it's less likely that it's going to curl up, or at the very least, it's going to minimize the effects of any curling from drying paint. Base colors are down. Let's take some green now and take green and mix it a little bit with that weird bluish-black concoction you just made. So you get a very kind of darkish greenish color. And paint some of that around the spawning pool as well. Just kind of mix it in. Now, next layer of paint is actually going to be a mixture of, let's see if we can just use some of that green color from last time and a little bit of the white gesso. Well, it's looking kind of... I'm going to put a little more green in there. Of course, what we're going for is just a really nasty looking kind of bright green color, kind of really ugly. And then that looks pretty good there. And then spread this through the spawning pool as well. So let's put these aside, and we'll continue with step two in the spawning pools in just a minute. Moving along with the spawning pools, we finish up painting the bases. I'll hold them up here. You can see we kind of got grayish, green, nasty-looking bases for the spawning pools, because once again, these are polluted by the rat men, because the Skaven are disgusting and filthy. Okay, so now I'm going to need to give them a bit of a water look to that. And that's where this little bottle comes in here, the realistic water. This comes out of the kit I used last year when we were building the battlefields, where I did a quick review of it. The product being called Cinerama's Water, Realistic Water Effects, or Realistic Water Kit, something like that. But it's by Cinerama, which is a division of Woodland Scenics. Woodland Scenics, of course, makes a lot of terrain pieces for miniature railroads and model railroads. So, what we're going to do first, though, is in the big lake up here in the corner, I'm going to take some of the warp stone we built earlier. I'm going to kind of glue it down in the lake to look like the warp stone itself is having like a polluting effect on the spawning pool. So I'm just going to take some white glue and kind of put a little bit of it on the bottom of a couple of the pieces of the warp stone, and let's just glue those things right down into the spawning pool. We'll do one more. Make it horrifically corrupted by warp stone. So we got four little pieces of warp stone in the spawning pool. I'm only going to do it to the one just for effect. The other two I'm just going to leave normal. Next we get to using the realistic water. Like I say, I'm still not sure what this stuff is, even though I used it for a while. But how it works, let's see if I can just crack open the bottle. Sweet mercy. Okay, I got to get some pliers. Back in a moment. Looks like pliers weren't good enough to get this jar open, so I ended up, it's a little plastic jar, so I ended up using like a jeweler's saw and just kind of cut my way into it. Hopefully I use it all up. There's not a whole lot left in here, but if not, I'll put it in some other container, but worry about that later. How the realistic water works is really pretty simple. You're going to just pour it down over the area you want to cover. There we go. And just take a paintbrush and spread it out. And as it dries, it gives the area a bit of a cool-looking, I guess, reflective sheen like you'd expect from water. Probably ideally, you probably want to kind of stroke the water effects in one direction as I'm doing right here. Give it kind of a nice, even look to it. Otherwise, you might get a lot of brush strokes going a lot of different directions, and it probably won't look quite right. There we go. Let's let this dry, and we'll come back, and we'll add the realistic water effects. Okay, moving on to the step we're going to detail the polluted spawning pools. What we're going to do now is add little ripples in the water and also kind of give a bit of a flocking edge around the spawning pool itself to give it a definitive edge. So if you hold up here, you can see I've got the spawning pools up to this point where the realistic water effect is dry, so it gives the spawning pools a bit of a sheen to it. And the next thing you're going to use also came within the kit for the Cinerama's water diorama kit or whatever little $10 pack I had was. This is called water effects. I'm pretty sure this stuff is just thick white glue because that's what it looks like. But regardless, it's called water effects and it basically looks like thick white glue, as you can see as I'm holding up the camera there. And how this works is you pretty much take a small stick. In this case, I'm going to be using one of the edges of the little balsa wood stirrer. I've been kind of using them for other things in this project. And you pretty much dip it in here and kind of draw it out a little bit like a pen. So you're almost drawing this water effect stuff out on the surface of the water. You don't need a lot of it to make it look good for this kind of thing, but let me just go ahead. I stuck a little bit of the white water effects on the end of the balsa wood stick. And I'm going to sit here and kind of just trace it out to create a bit of a wave on the surface of this spawning pool, like the wind's kind of blowing the water around a little bit. It's not the easiest thing to do because, you know, it's a little bit of finessing to it, but that's the basic principle behind it. I'll put a few more kind of waves going in the same general direction on the spawning pool then. And then using my finger, I'm kind of reducing the size of the ripples a little bit to make them look a little more like ripples instead of like kind of large wave-like things that would be stranger than a little pool like this. There we go. It's looking pretty good. Now we're going to repeat the process for the two other spawning pools. Of course, the one over here has got the warp stone in it. You want to make the ripples kind of look like they're going around the warp stone. All right, let's call this part with the water effects done. Now we're going to move on to putting some flocking around the edge of the spawning pools to give them a definitive border. So let's get our white glue back out here. And as carefully as possible, you just want to run some white glue around the edge of the spawning pool. As you can see here, I'm pretty much tracing out this one spawning pool with the white glue. And you want to make this border thick enough such that you can kind of use a pair of scissors to cut out the spawning pool and still, you know, leave flocking around the edge. Let's see. Now I'm going to be using a mixing of both GW and some, whatchamacallit, stuff. Woodland Scenics. Woodland Scenics brown, or branded flockings. That's what I got laying around here. Now the one thing to be careful at this point is, I'm pretty sure, like I said, those water effects are basically white glue. So you do not want to get any of the flocking on the white glue, or the water effects, because that'll kind of, well, you know, make flocking stick to the middle of the lake. Which probably isn't the best thing that have happened. So let me hold this up here. You can see I've got a whole bunch of flocking around the edge of the spawning pool. Do my best to keep it out of the middle. We're going to repeat the process for the other two spawning pools. At that point, you're going to just let it dry for a couple hours. Okay, so I've now basically given each of the spawning pools a bit of a bank or a well-defined border with the flocking. Now, normally at this point, I'd advocate tipping this thing up to kind of have all the excess flocking spill off and collect it. We're going to do that later once everything is drying. The reason for that is I'm still pretty sure, as I mentioned, the water effects are white glue. And if we tilt this thing up to kind of have all the extra flocking slide off, a large portion of it will probably stick to the water effects that ruin the whole spawning pools altogether. So keep this thing nice and level, carry it off, let it sit for a while till it dries, and then we'll get back to finish up the spawning pools then. On to the final step of building the spawning pools. I've already cut one out just to kind of test the whole process out, but you can see here now, I've got my two of the spawning pools with the flocking still sitting around them. First things first, now the little ripples and stuff have dried, let's shake off the excess flocking. So just kind of hold the thing up and do the little kind of tap a little bit, and just get whatever excess flocking to fall off. Hopefully most of the flocking stuck around the pool and not inside it. For the most part, that seemed to be the case, but GW flocking kind of sticks everywhere, I noticed. But regardless, now it's time to cut the pools out. So let's just start by getting kind of a rough cut around the pool like this. So I'm not actually cutting into the flocking, just kind of getting approximately around it to get the spawning pool separate from the other one. Now, at this point, I want to actually cut through the flocking and, you know, leave only a really small edge around the spawning pool. Less, you know, try to go from maybe a third to a half an inch at the absolute most, but probably about a quarter to a third of an inch. That's all you really need is a border. And there we go. Let me just kind of flatten it out a bit, and you've got your completed spawning pool. Do the same thing for the other one, and we'll be ready to assemble the final temple. There we go. Two finished spawning pools. Got a third one sitting over there. So, that's it for these guys. The last step in building this whole temple complex. So let's get everything over and get it all assembled together. Let's begin building the walls that are going to surround the temple mound. And what we're going to do is actually build these walls on separate templates, therefore we can take them off this project and use them elsewhere if we want to. Now, as for what we're going to build the walls out of, we're actually going to use something I picked up from Michaels. It is Make It Fun Project Bricks. They're by the company Floracraft, And this giant box I'm holding here has 300 bricks in it, and it retails around $15, like I said, at Michael's. Of course, Michael's has an awesome 40% off coupon, so I got this for $9. If I pop this thing open, I start showing them what we're working with. They're kind of large, probably for, like, typical brick buildings for, say, the 28mm scale. But in the case of, like, giant stone walls, they're probably about the right size. These bricks are probably about approximately an inch, maybe inch, a little over an inch long by about half inch by half inch. So, yeah, I think, they're, like I said, they're kind of large. You want to use them for normal buildings, but for cool fortification walls, they're probably a pretty good scale. And these are made out of styrofoam. It looks like just like basically like some kind of styrofoam or foam that have been painted over. So you can cut them in half, you can squeeze them, you can kind of bend them, snap them, do whatever you want if you want to make rubble or change the shape, that kind of stuff. They show some of the ideas of what you can do in the back of the package of the various tools that you can use and how to assemble them. One other note is they are a sandstone color, which for this purpose I really don't care what color they are. But they do have a coat of paint over them, so you probably could paint over them if you wanted to get more of a gray or stone color. But let's begin with the whole process. I'm going to put these bricks away for right now. We'll get back to them in just a little bit. What I'm starting off with, I'm going to build just a giant sheet of flocking, basically a giant cardboard sheet of flocking. Therefore, I'll cut that up in different strips for the different segments of the walls. So I'm actually using the back of the Elizabethan Temple Guard box that I used for the templates to start, but that's just the size I chose. So this probably measures around 8 to 10 inches one direction, about 6 inches in the other direction. I've got here then just some basic brown poster paint, not using anything fancy expensive, I'm just painting this cardboard up. And we're just going to give it a quick layer of brown paint. And the reason, once again, why I'm keeping this all intact is to hopefully help... Wow, this paint sucks. Does this paint really suck that bad? It's not covering up anything. It's barely even covering up the color of the... To be honest, I don't even really know where this paint came from. Let's try a little bit more and see if it didn't mix it up very well or something. No, I'm pretty confident it just sucks that bad. Okay, fine. Alright. I didn't want to, but I guess I'll use some of the Games Workshop branded paint instead. That'll cover this pretty well. Because Games Workshop stuff is expensive, and I really don't want to use it if I don't have to, but apparently this brand of poster paint, which is Art Minds washable paint, non-toxic, rated for brush, finger paint, and sponge paint for ages 4+, really sucks. Much better. Much better coverage on the GW paint portion. Because, you know, as it dries, it's going to curl the thing. So ideally, by painting the full sheet, it'll have less of an impact than if we were to paint the individual wall section strips separately. Because once this is all done in flock, we're going to cut this thing up into little strips and corners that we're going to build the walls on. There we go. Let me just hold this thing up, and you've got a nice sheet of brown cardboard. So I'm going to go set this off the side, let it dry, and we'll get ready to come back to flock it up. I've let the paint dry on the piece of cardboard that's going to become the basis of the wall. And next thing we're going to do is start laying out the foundations of the wall. So we're going to just kind of lay the bricks out and glue them down. And once we've got one level of bricks laid out, then we're going to cut them out and kind of then build them up from there. The reason I'm putting down just a foundation of bricks first is just to basically make sure I don't waste flocking and other materials get in the way of gluing the bricks to the cardboard, because that's the most important thing. The way these little Make It Fun brand or whatever they are, Floracraft Make It Fun construction bricks or whatever they're called, you can basically glue them either with white glue or it says you can choose to use hot glue. They are foam, but I guess they seem to think that hot glue works fine. But either way, I'm just going to run with white glue. So I'm just putting a little bit of white glue on the bottom of the brick and then I'm sticking it down. And of course, like with normal brick walls or whatever you want to call them, normal bricks, you do want to stagger them when you get to multiple levels for strength. And in terms of laying out the wall patterns, what I'm doing here is I'm going to have a corner wall and I'm building first. I'm building obviously the corner wall and the corner of the cardboard. Then I'll cut that out, and then I'll build probably a few more corners in each of the four corners. Yeah, probably each of the four corners of the cardboard will probably become a corner wall. And then with what's left, I'll build a few straight wall segments. And keep in mind, these are basically ruined temples. So the fact that you want to make the, you know, walls not quite even or a little bit destroyed, that's part of going along with the theme of the project. So there we go. There's the first foundation of the first corner. I'm going to go ahead and do that with the next four corners, and then we'll start working on some of the straight segments. So we got the foundations of four corners and three straight line wall segments done. We're going to start building these things up with more bricks. Now, as I mentioned before, you do want to stagger them a little bit. So just like a real wall segment, you know what I mean. The second layer of bricks is about halfway offset from the first layer. And that may result, obviously, in bricks kind of sticking off the side, or maybe you want to break them in half. However you want to do it, remember these are ruined walls, so you want to make it look messy. Adds more to the character and flavor of the build project. I'm going to keep using white glue to hold them together. I'll probably go three, maybe four bricks high at the absolute tallest, but three is probably good enough for 28 millimeter scale figures like Warhammer. So let's just go ahead and do that then. All seven wall segments are done, so I'm ready to put these off the side, let them dry for a couple hours so the bricks are nice and sturdy together, and we got some more detail work to finish up with them afterwards. Now this is the final stage of building the walls. What we've got here is obviously the walls we assembled before. It's all dried now, so you can kind of see the walls hold together. What we're going to do is give them a couple of different things. We're going to first make them look like they're burned and charred by giving them some black paint coating on the edges. We're going to then have vines kind of crawling all over them, like you can see here is a finished one. They look like, obviously, thousands of years, the jungle has been retaking the walls and the vines are climbing all over it. And finally, to add a little bit more effect, we're going to put little bushes at the base of some of the walls, kind of give more of effect that the jungle has taken back this ruined temple. So first step, take a paintbrush. Take black paint and put it out on a palette somewhere. And all we're going to do is just kind of somewhat lightly go over the tops and sides of some of the wall segments. Just kind of make it look like they're charred. So all I'm literally doing is taking my brush, dipping in some black paint, and just kind of going over the tops and the sides of some of the stone bricks here to the wall. And that's just going to give the effect that it's being kind of charred and it's been burned. Okay, so now the walls look like they're charred and burnt. We're going to put the vines on them. And that's where this stuff comes back in. We got the green lichen, and we got kind of the brown moss over here. And of course, like we did with the roads, those are going to make up the vines that are climbing over the walls. Just take some white glue and put it down on a palette. And then using, like, say, an extra piece of, like, plastic sprue or some kind of stick. In this case, I'm using the little balsawood stir I've been using for a lot of different things about this project. Just dip the end of it in the glue and just kind of run it, the glue then, in a small trail along the wall. As you can see here, right now I'm working from top to bottom. Just kind of having about maybe at most a quarter inch wide trail where the lichen and moss is going to glue down to give the effect of a vine climbing the wall. And you may want to add a few kind of branches off from the main line from the top to the bottom, just so it looks like the moss kind of broke off and went a few different directions as it climbed up. And of course, do the same thing on the back. There we go. With the glue in place, let's go ahead and just take some pieces of the lichen and the moss and place them down on the trails of glue. And then after a while, they'll stick to it and give the effect that looks like a vine was climbing up from the ground over the wall and, you know, the effect that the vines are retaking the wall. And also to mix things up, make sure you use both the green lichen and the brown moss. Kind of just give a variation in color in there. And also pat down the pieces you stick them on to make sure they got some glue that they're going to actually hold on to. Otherwise, they can look like they're sticking on, but they'll fall off as soon as the glue dries because they really don't actually have any glue that's holding them to the wall. So here we go. This is what the final product should look like in terms of the vines anyway. You can see they're kind of glued on there. Look like they're climbing up the wall. The last step to finish up these walls, we're going to put the lichen and the moss away, and we're going to pull out some Woodland Scenics dark green clump foliage. It's, as what it says, it's clumps of foliage. They basically are designed to look like small bushes and model railroad sets. So what you're going to do, take your little balsa wood stick or whatever you've been using to get the glue out, dip it in some glue, and put a few spots of glue along the base of the wall. Like, we'll put one there, we'll put one there. We'll probably put about three or four down along the base of the wall, and then go back with the green clump foliage and just kind of cover up those spots of glue with the foliage. You don't need a lot, just a little bit to make it look like there's a small bush or some kind of plant growing right there. After hours of work, at least in my part anyway, the entire temple complex is done. Let's assemble this thing and see how it finally came out. First up, the actual temple mount itself. The roads and the roads. Yes, just the roads. Next, let's put down the three spawning pools. Okay, a little guy, we'll stick him kind of over in this corner here. Right now, the smallest one I think goes there. Then the next smallest one can go right over, kind of hide right there. And this one can hide in the back by that temple complex. I guess that'll work. Next up, we're going to put down the two temples themselves. And finally, we've got all seven wall segments. So let's see, we'll put this corner piece. The wall segments kind of can be a little freeform, go wherever you want. Put him there. Let's stick him up in that corner. We'll put you along this back here. That's a good spot for that one. That corner piece. So we'll put you along this wall. How about you go over here along where this temple's at? And we need you. You can go here today. I think it's a pretty good distribution. There you go. That is the finished Lizardmen Massive Temple Mount. It took us a while. It's probably the biggest project we've attempted in the history of the tabletop battlefield. Hope you had fun kind of taking a look at it. As a final review on these Floracraft Make It Fun project bricks, I'm gonna definitely like them. I think the only complaint I'd have about them, the two complaints are, one, they're kind of big for a lot of common 28 millimeter buildings. Like I said, maybe massive structures like temples and walls and castles, they're about the right size, you know, because that's what people use, giant bricks. The color isn't the best. I mean, for this kind of project, the sandstone look doesn't really bother me. Some people might want more traditional standard gray versus the sandstone color. As far as I know, they don't come in a gray color. I've only seen the sandstone color. And as we're painting them, that's not the easiest thing to do. Spray paint might work, but it is some sort of foam material underneath it. So if it gets through the initial kind of sandstone color paint, that may cause it to start dissolving. But all in all, for $15, you get a lot of stuff, especially when you consider you get this 40% off coupon from Michaels. You get a lot of stuff for about $9, and it's generally a pretty nice product, especially for building walls at the very least. It just saves a lot of time in trying to cut out the bricks yourself or trying to model them or sculpt them with some kind of tool. It just works a lot nicer, a lot cleaner, and a lot simpler. Well, that's going to be it for me for this episode. Any questions or comments, send them to me at jason@rockosoftware.com, Twitter at @TT_Battlefield, Rocko Robotics on Steam for Left 4 Dead 2 or Dawn of War 2, etc., etc., etc. And I think that's all the usual shout-outs I have. Now that we've completed the temple, it's basically time for our review of Blitz for the end of the year. I'm going to be picking up a copy of Dust Tactics that's published by Fantasy Flight Games. It came out in the past month or so, Gen Con-ish, that time frame. I'm thinking the other two games we got coming up, hopefully get time for both of them. One, I believe, see the name is Dungeons and Dragons. I think it's Return to Castle Ravenloft, or it might just be Castle Ravenloft. It's a new kind of adventure board game set in the Dungeons and Dragons Ravenloft universe. And then finally, we're going to be doing one more independent game by the end of the year. And it is called Please Stand By, as long as I get a copy of this game. It is, like I said, an independent miniatures zombie horror survival game. And kind of, it looks a bit Left 4 Dead-ish in that kind of style. So I'll be trying to get a copy of that and want to review that one. But that's our review blitz for hopefully, probably the next three episodes. Or two, or, you know, we'll see how it goes. But that's the plan at the moment. So anyway, thanks for watching. Once again, I'm Jason. We'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.